The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to a new episode of Sixers Daily. I'm going to be recapping Philly's 125-113 preseason win over the Raptors. Before I give you the details of some of the things I liked and didn't like, don't forget, subscribe to the Liberty Ballers Podcast Network. You can catch us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you get your fix, we are there. And of course, we always appreciate a five-star review if you're inclined to give us one. And also, don't forget, check out libertyballers.com for all your Sixers needs. So, as I mentioned off the top, much better outing for the Sixers in this one compared to what we saw in the opener in Toronto. They got a 12-point win. Obviously, it helps that you have Joel Embiid and Tobias Harris back in the lineup. Interesting note, though, for this one, even though they had the starters, you know, in terms of Danny Green, as I mentioned, Joe and Toby out there, Doc went with Shake Milton over Tyrese Maxey as the starting quote-unquote point guard. The Sixers offense did look pretty good in terms of we saw a lot more screen and rolls, especially with Toby and Joel off the top, where Joel was coming up to set the screen, and that enabled Harris to find Danny Green early, who had 8 points in the first quarter, including two threes where he was wide open, hit the shot, no problem. It was butter. You knew it was as soon as it left his hand. But a shaky start for Milton. You can see the pun that I made there. But anyways, Shake Milton, a little bit too much of what we've seen over his time, really, as a Sixer, is inconsistency. When he was on the court to begin the game, forcing it a lot in terms of trying to penetrate, putting his head down and barreling into a defender and not really letting the game come to him. So I don't know how long Doc's going to feel confident in terms of going with Milton in the starting lineup. Tyrese Maxey looked great as a reserve. He kind of was the catalyst for the second unit. We saw that obviously last season at points, but he's looking a lot more confident. He finished with 14 points in this one in just 21 minutes. So he looked really good. And really the Sixers offensively look good overall. They had seven guys hit double figures. George Niang, another newcomer, finished with 16. Andre Drummond, another impressive performance with 10 points and seven rebounds. Also a little bit more involved in the offense in terms of setting the screen up high. Usually it was for Maxey at that point coming off. And so we might see the Sixers start to do that a little bit more this season, is getting Joel and Andre Drummond when they're on the court, hopefully separately, coming up and setting screen for whoever it might be, Toby, Seth Curry, Tyrese Maxey, and trying to roll out of that and find the shooters, because the Sixers did have a lot of shooting on the floor today, and that resulted in 18 three-pointers that they made on 37 attempts. So when you hit, you know, 48.6% of your outside jumpers, chances are you are going to win. But like I mentioned, Shake, again, going back to him, he struggled a bit. And then when he got back on in the second quarter, he looked like a different player in terms of he was a little bit more calm, letting things come to him. If there was an opportunity to drive, he took it. If there was an opportunity to take a shot, he jacked it. And I think that's what the Sixers need from him on a more consistent basis, is we don't need you to go out there just because you have the label of de facto point guard, just based off the lineup out there. It doesn't mean you have to do something outside of your realm. And I think that's something the Sixers will work on with Shake as things go forward. I mean, he had a real nice possession at the end of the first half. The Sixers are trying to go 2-for-1, ended up finding Seth Curry for a wide open three in the corner, and he hit that. The Sixers hit 12 threes over the opening two quarters and had a 71-55 lead at the break. They also did a good job defensively of limiting the fast break points for the Raptors. We saw that in the opener where Toronto was able to take advantage off of bad shots that the Sixers were taking where it was too early and the offense wasn't set, and that allowed a versatile athletic team like the Raptors to get out and run. And the Sixers didn't seem like they had an answer for that in the first game, did a much better job of that in this one. Another thing I wanted to point out, so it was interesting to hear Doc talk about this during practices and his media availabilities, that he wanted to find a way to get Isaiah Joe on the court a little bit more. And he did just that. Isaiah got on the court with roughly 3.5 minutes left in the second quarter and showed what he could do once again. Like, you know, in terms of his defensive energy and his activity, he was all over the court and giving fits to the Raptors guards. And just the way he carries himself, he ended up finishing with 2 steals, 15 points, 3 or 4 from beyond the arc. He's going to make it hard for Doc not to give him some minutes. If he keeps doing this for the next couple of preseason games and showing out in practice, he's absolutely going to make it difficult for Doc to try and look at this and say, how can I keep this guy off the court because of what he brings to the table? And sure, you know, he's slender and he might get pushed around a little bit, but he's going to have to learn how to play positionally in terms of, okay, I might be undersized a little bit, but I can make up for that with my quickness. I can make up with that with feistiness, getting into passing lanes, deflecting passes. And I think that's what we saw from Isaiah Joe, that he did a really good job. And he has the last two games of just being active and showing that he belongs in the NBA. So I'd be surprised if Doc doesn't give him more run, maybe in preseason game number 3 on Monday against the Nets, definitely in game number 4. But if he's doing this, it's going to be hard to keep him off the court, especially because he brings, you know, shooting and a defensive ability, which, again, other than maybe Danny Green, the Sixers might lack that. Another newcomer who looked really, really good is George Niang. He was one of the 7 Philly players who ended up in double figures in this one, hit 4 of 7 from beyond the arc. The Sixers desperately needed that from the 4 spot. He looks like he'll be able to provide that in droves as a veteran. Looked, again, really good defensively, engaged, diving for loose balls just in a preseason game, you know, gaining some love with the Philly faithful there, and really just doing a good job of, again, being active. Because I think the concern with the Sixers has nothing to do with the defensive end. We know how good they're going to be, and losing Ben, obviously an all NBA defensive type player, is going to hurt, but the Sixers still have a ton. And, you know, we saw that with Joel Embiid early on, where he's guarding a smaller guy in Precious Achiuwa. But I mean, he made a couple of plays, including one in the first quarter where the Raptors were basically running a play that was going to result in a lob for Achiuwa. I mean, Embiid just sniffed that out right away. And so, you know, seeing Joe being the anchor of the defense in this one, I think was a good reminder of how much they were missing in the opener against the Raptors. So I think defensively, they're good. They have a bunch of these guys who are really hard-nosed and tough players and are going to make it hard for the other team to score. So I think defensively, they're going to be maybe not as good. Of course, you're going to be missing Ben, an elite, you know, defensive player, but still pretty damn good in terms of the bigger scope of things when it comes to the NBA. Offensively, though, there were some moments where you are looking at this with a bit of a concern. I like Tyrese Maxey with the second unit in terms of he's the guy with the bench mob. You can get Andre Drummond the ball on the block if you need to. He finished with 10 points and 7 boards. But, you know, Maxey, when he's penetrating and he's kind of the guy and the ball is in his hands, you know, he finished with 14 points, 5 assists too. So he was finding the open men as well. I love what he brings, but there were moments that the offense looked stale, particularly in the third quarter where the Raptors did make a run to try and get back into it. You know, as I mentioned, the Sixers were up by 16 at the half, but the Raptors did start making a run and chipping away at that. And that wasn't necessarily the result of bad defense. That was just a result of the fact that offensively they were struggling with, again, with one thing that we've obviously talked about without Ben is how are they going to be able to create off the top? And Tobias Harris was struggling, you know, Shake Milton, again, up and down, but during that stretch, he wasn't very good. But the guy who kind of kept them afloat was Seth Curry. And I noticed that, you know, being at training camp and watching the Sixers practice, Seth was putting in extra work with the coaches every single time once the team was off the court. And he was trying to get better at catch and shoot. And, you know, he's in the corner waiting to catch from one of the coaches or the trainers and jacking it up. And he was making a lot. And so it's like, you know, Seth has always been a very good 3-point shooter, but it looked like he's trying to get to another level when it comes to how dependent he is with hitting those. And again, being quicker with catching and shooting it, that was noticeable as well in that third quarter where he really came alive and helped keep the Sixers offense afloat, because they were struggling at getting penetration in the third. And I think this is something that everybody would expect, considering you're missing your starting, you know, basically primary ball handler in Simmons. But that is one area where it's going to be up and down, I think, until the Sixers find out a way that they basically have to go with a rotation and an offensive scheme that it's five guys kind of playing off of each other more so than we're going to try and get the ball in, you know, one guy or two guys' hands and feed off of that. So again, I think these are some of the kinks that the Sixers will need to iron out as we get into the regular season. But like I mentioned, I mean, overall, much better effort in this one against the Raptors. Looked much better shooting the ball, 48.6% from deep. They were attacking a little bit more in terms of getting to the free throw line, made a 76.5% of their free throws as well. So again, that's not a worry so far. And like I said, defensively, they were doing a lot better job getting back, limiting the points off of the turnovers that the Raptors really killed them on in the opener. But the fast break points, just Raptors just didn't have the opportunities to get out. And another big difference in this one was the Sixers were able to challenge the three-point shooters. They held the Raps to 11 of 37 shooting from beyond the arc, which is amazing. I mean, hopefully you can hold teams to 30, 33, 34%, somewhere around there, below league average, and you'll be in a pretty good spot in terms of how many points you're giving up overall. And I really like that from the way the Sixers were getting out and challenging. Even there was a couple times where Joel ended up on a switch, and he was able to get his hand up and you know, alter the shot. And so, I think this is going to be a work in progress, but I like what I saw in terms of the depth, you know, with the new guys, but Niang and Drummond, a clearly an upgrade over what the Sixers had coming off the bench at the 4-5 last season. Isaiah Joe, by all accounts, put in a ton of work this offseason, and the way he looks early on in the meaningless games that they are right now, but he's showing that, hey, you know, Doc Rivers has to have something to think about when it comes to get this young man on the court. And like I said, he might not be highly touted. He might not be, you know, a superstar in the making, but at 22 years old, you know, he still has a ton of potential and a ton of growth to turn into a everyday rotation player and possibly a fringe starter. And if the Sixers can get that from him, that would be a huge bonus going into the regular season. That'll wrap it up for this episode. Don't forget, as I mentioned, you could subscribe to the Liberty Ballers Podcast Network. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, you name it, we are there. And of course, check out libertyballers.com, where Paul, Steve, Dave, the entire crew will have you covered as we gear up for the start of the regular season.